Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Do you have a Bible question or a topic of interest you'd like to discuss with us? Well, give us a call right now. 844-322-2742 is the number to dial, both in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Bob, we got a very nice note from Judy overnight by email, and she says, I just listened to your broadcast from the 25th, the 26th, and the 27th. Thank you for this gift of the good news of the Bible. I learn something new with each broadcast and get a better understanding of God's Word. Grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So easy, and we make it so difficult at times. Basic Gospel has blessed my life. Thank you. Again, that's from Judy, and a nice note to start the program with.
Oh, that's a fantastic note, and we're so glad folks like Judy write to us. We certainly need the encouragement, yeah. And it's so wonderful to hear that people are really listening. They're really digging into the Word of God and recognizing this gospel, this good news, this grace of God that's been given to them in Christ Jesus. And for the vast majority of comments that come in, they're positive, and mm-hmm. we really appreciate that. We do receive some negative comments.
You can go the other way, too.
Yes, yeah. We do. We certainly can go the other way. For example, on yesterday's program, we talked about this finality of the cross, mm-hmm. the fact that Jesus Christ finished his work once and for all when he offered his body as the once-for-all sacrifice. God accepted that as final payment for our sins. And when we receive him, we receive forgiveness of sins. Uh-huh. So it's not that God doles it out with every sin that we commit. He's just given it to us in Christ. Mm-hmm. That's why Paul wrote in Ephesians 1:7 that in him, in Jesus Christ, and that's what happens to us when we believe. We are taken out of Adam and we are placed in Jesus. Well, in Jesus, we have some things. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So in Christ, we have forgiveness. It's not that we get it on a day-to-day basis. It's the simple fact that we have it.
Right.
We have forgiveness of sins. Now, 1 John 1:9, when you read it and just pull it out of its context, it seems to suggest something else, that we have to confess every sin. And when we do, we find out that God is faithful and just, and he's going to forgive us of that sin and cleanse us of that bit of unrighteousness. But when you put it back into context, you see that it's really answering the problems that John has laid out in 1 John 1:8. And in 1 John 1:10. So 1 John 1:8, it says, if someone says they have no sin, they deceive themselves and the truth is not in them. Well, that's not a believer, that's an unbeliever. And the same is true of 1 John 1:10 when it says, if you say you haven't sinned, you make God out to be a liar. Well, if you're making God out to be a liar, then you're not walking in truth. You haven't received the truth. Again, it's a person who is not a believer.
Right.
So to those folks who have really strange ideas about sin, John says, if you confess your sins, if you agree with God concerning the fact that you're a sinner, then you're going to find out that God is faithful and just and has already done something with your sin in Jesus, that he's forgiven and that he's cleansed you of all unrighteousness. And then as he moves into chapter 2, he makes a shift and he says, now I write to you, dear little children. And he goes down and in verse 12 of chapter 2, he says, I write to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name.
Yeah.
Well, as we were explaining that yesterday, Jesse was listening to us, a gentleman, and he calls us and said, I just have to emphatically disagree. And he suggested that we needed to reexamine our duties toward relating the truth. And how could we get something so basic so wrong? And
yeah.
said, you know, I'm just going to have to stop listening to the program.
I guess 40 years of study doesn't count.
I guess not. Yeah. I don't know. But here's the thing that's interesting. We never mind disagreement. Disagreement is great for conversation, because we can talk with one another, and after the conversation is over, challenge each other to go into the Word of God and see what it actually says. So disagreement is okay. But as believers, here's several things that we cannot disagree on. The first is that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. That's what we read in Hebrews 9:22. And so we see in that verse that forgiveness is not based on anything other than the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not based on our confession. It's not based on our memory. It's not based on anything that we bring to the table. It's based on the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So without the shedding of blood, without Christ shedding his blood once and for all, we would not have forgiveness. But because he has shed his blood, because God the Father was satisfied with that sacrifice on our behalf, he has given us forgiveness of sin. So as I said earlier, in him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That's true of all of us who are in Christ. Colossians chapter 2 says that we have been forgiven all of our sins, not just some of them, but all of them. That means past, present, and future. So we have forgiveness of sins. And then 1 John 2:12 that I just mentioned, I write to you, dear little children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. So as believers in Christ, we live in a new covenant, a covenant in which God remembers our sins no more, and where these have been forgiven, there's no longer any sacrifice for sins. So that's the foundational truth.
Yeah.
That's the basic gospel. In Christ, we have forgiveness of sins. It's just as plain as that. So we can't disagree on that. If you think that you aren't totally forgiven, then I certainly challenge you to go in the Word of God and take a fresh look at the finished work of Jesus Christ, because it speaks loudly. Just as Jesus said to the paralytic, my son, your sins are forgiven.
Yeah.
The blood of Jesus speaks the same to you. Your sins are forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ once and for all, and you stand before God as a forgiven believer in Christ.
Rest in it.
Rest in it.
Yeah.
Thank God for it.
Absolutely.
Yes, indeed.
That is good news. It's the kind of news you hear each day on Basic Gospel, the good news. Friends, we're just a little over 3 days away from the end of the year and the tax deadline for 2017 gift giving, and we still have a way to go as we entered December. Wow, we needed about $157,000 by the end of December to clear our budget. Well, we're hoping to see that need exceeded and shattered so that we can take this message, the message that has made a difference in so many people's lives. Many of those of you who are listening right now, take that message into new areas where new listeners can hear of the love of Jesus Christ for them. So please, if you can, visit BasicGospel.net, click that Donate tab, and we would love for you to be a partner with us. Again, you can find that Donate link at BasicGospel.net. You can also call 844-322-2742 to make your gift. Again, 844-322-2742. You can also use PayPal, and you can use the Basic Gospel app. Anyway, it's a great way to give and be a part of this thing that we call Basic Gospel.
Yes, indeed. We also had another comment that came in through our Facebook page yesterday, and this is from a person named Jason, and he was a little bit troubled by the fact that we worship the title of Jesus as Christ. And, it says if we're not supposed to worship titles, why do we worship the title of Jesus as Christ? And he goes on and he talks about, we say that Jesus is God and he doesn't believe in the Trinity. And then he goes on to say, every time I listen to Christians, it's Jesus, 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 so we better throw a God in there. And it freaks me out to the point that I can't sit in a church for Mass. Not to babble on, but it actually troubles me. And to be honest, I really don't give a rat's, and I won't say what he wrote there about forgiveness. I can take my lumps, but I am grateful Jesus died for our sins. Don't get me wrong. So there's a lot of confusion in this particular question.
Yeah.
Jason, we hope to give you some help today and give you some good encouragement. The title Christ, that word Christ means anointed one or chosen one. It directly relates to the word, the Hebrew word for Messiah, mm-hmm. that we read about in the Old Testament. So Jesus Christ is the Messiah. So as he's having that conversation with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well, she says, "We know that a Messiah is coming." And Jesus looked at her and said, "I am he."
Yeah.
So he is the anointed one, and that's the title that he has. But that title speaks to his work to take away our sins so that we could have life everlasting. Now, Peter recognized that as he stood up on the day of Pentecost. He delivered the very first Christian sermon. He talked about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And here's his conclusion of that particular sermon. "Let all the house of Israel," and this is Acts 2:36, "let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him," Jesus, "both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." So God has chosen Jesus to do a work on our behalf so that we could be saved. Now, Jesus was fully God, but he became fully man in the incarnation. Mm-hmm. He took upon himself flesh and blood, and it was this Jesus the man that became the once-for-all sacrifice that took away our sins. He, the man, was the anointed one, the chosen one to carry out the work that God had given him to do. So we read, for example, in Hebrews chapter 10, that Jesus had come to do the will of his Father. He inhabited the body that God had prepared for him, and he came into this world to carry out the will of his Father. What was that? As the anointed one, he was going to offer his body once and for all to take away our sins, to take away, Jason, your sins, mm-hmm. So that you could be made holy in the sight of God and made perfect forever in his sight. That's why Jesus was the anointed one. No one else bore that title. No one else was going to carry out that work on our behalf. Only Jesus. That's why we bow down and worship him, because of what he's accomplished for us, because of who he is. So we worship him. And all of eternity, we're going to bow down and worship the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is. And it's not that God is trying to say, "Hey, you have to praise me, you have to do this." And a lot of folks read the Word of God and they see the word glory, and you need to bring glory to God and all those sort of things, and just like, wow, he seems to be egotistical. Well, bringing glory to God isn't about just patting him on the back and making him feel good about himself. Bringing glory to God is simply recognizing the truth about God.
Yeah.
That apart from him, we're nothing. I mean, he spoke and we came into being. He created us. He is the source of life. And so as we recognize that truth, as we recognize the truth about Jesus Christ, we bring glory to God the Father. So it's not that he's an egotistical God needing us to prop him up with our praises.
Yeah.
Our praises are in response to a recognition of truth, that apart from Christ, we can do nothing. Apart from God, we are nothing.
Yeah.
So that's what we have to recognize in this. So, Jason, we hope that is helpful to you and will clear up some confusion in your life.
Yeah. Well, again, we have plenty of open lines. We'd love for you to be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, my name is Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us. Call 844-322-2742 right now if you have a question or something you'd like to discuss with us. 844-322-2742. Did you have another, or we
have another disagreement that we're going to address okay. here as well. And for those of you who follow us on our Facebook page, and if you don't, we encourage you to go to our Facebook page. It's just facebook.com/basicgospel and like us.
Yeah.
And when you do that, you get notifications about the broadcast on a daily basis, and you can enjoy all the posts that we put on our Facebook page there. Well, for those of you who are a part of our Facebook page, you may have read this from Christina, and there's another gentleman named Mark who writes basically the same thing. And she starts this just with this phrase, dangerous teachings.
Mm.
And so that's what she's saying about what we teach here at Basic Gospel. And she writes, you are not teaching the words of Christ, but the lies of Paul.
Oh, my.
So the gospel of Christ contains his teachings and commandments, not cheap grace because you say a few words. That is the devil trying to get us to not do what Christ commanded his apostles. And what was that? She lists out the Great Commission, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I'm always with you to the very end of the age. So she is troubled by the fact that we teach a lot from the letters of Paul.
Yeah.
And she says that those letters of Paul are lies. They're not the truth of God. Well, is that true? Are the letters of Paul lies? Are they just fabrications? Is Paul just this, rogue apostle that is making up his own stuff and trying to convince the world that he and he alone has the truth? I don't think so. And if you read the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and if you read Apostle Paul's writings, mm-hmm. You will see that they harmonize beautifully.
Absolutely.
And the reason I say that is because time and time and time again in Paul's writings, he says, we preach Christ and him crucified. We lay no other foundation than the one that's already been laid, and that is Jesus Christ. He talks about how Jesus was raised from the dead, and if he had not been raised from the dead, our faith is futile. We're still in our sins. So all of Paul's writings center on the person and work of Jesus Christ. Yeah. So the way the Bible is laid out is this. We have the gospel accounts, so we have the life of Jesus. So we see his birth, and we see how that happened. We see all of the events surrounding that blessed birth in Bethlehem. We see a little bit of his childhood, and then we see Jesus coming on the scene and being baptized in the Jordan, and then going into the synagogue at Nazareth and preaching his first sermon, and we see the miracles and the teachings in Capernaum and all of these places, mm-hmm. and we see him going down to Jerusalem, and we see him just all of the, so we see the life of Jesus in 3D color and that sort of thing. Then we see him crucified and buried and raised from the dead, and the Gospels chronicle his life. Well, that's the story.
Yeah.
Well, then Paul takes that story and gives us explanation. What does that mean to us? What does it mean that Christ died on the cross? What does it mean that he was buried? What does it mean that he was raised from the dead? And he takes that story and he couples it with the history of Israel and all the unfolding prophecies about Jesus, and he runs them through the gospel accounts, and he gives us the explanation. So it's the fullness of this story of Christ that we see in the writings of Paul. So he's not making up stuff. He is simply passing on what he received, that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised to life on the third day according to Scriptures. Mm-hmm. So Paul is looking at the Word of God. the Old Testament, what he was passed on, what was passed on to him concerning the very life of Christ. He was a contemporary, and he is, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, giving us explanation as to what that means. So, no, the writings of Paul aren't lies. They're just the continuation of the story of Christ in such a wonderful, wonderful way. And the other thing that I want to say about this, she says, not cheap grace. Folks, there is no such thing as cheap grace.
Right.
None. It was a phrase coined by Dietrich Bonhoeffer to reflect a laziness in people back in his day.
Mm-hmm.
Grace is not a word that describes us. Grace is a word that describes God. So Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth.
Yeah.
So if we respond to that in a wrong way, in a perverted way, that doesn't make grace cheap. It just makes us perverted.
Yeah.
It just makes us, it puts us in a bad light that we are using this for our own means. There is no such thing as cheap grace.
Right. Absolutely true. Yeah.
So we have to recognize that God is the one that bestows grace upon us. There's nothing cheap about that.
Yeah.
He shows us his favor in the person of Christ Jesus. We need to rest in that and rest in that alone.
We love hearing from you, our listeners, and if you have some issue with what you hear on the air, we'd love for you to bring it to our attention so that we can fully address it, as Jason and Jesse and Christina have done on this particular occasion. Right now, Bob, we want to remind our listeners that you too can be a part of our broadcast. You can send your question to us at bob@basicgospel.net, or you can call and record it in your own voice at 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you, and I'd love for you to be a part of the Basic Gospel broadcast and a part of the Basic Gospel Nation, as a matter of fact. Bob, take a couple of minutes, a minute and a half, I guess, and then leave me a minute to tell everybody how they can give. But, we're down to 3 days plus before the end of the year.
Yes, indeed. Well, as these questions indicate, our desire is simply to connect people to the life and love of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And that's what we do every single day. We tell the story of Jesus. We tell the story of his death, what he accomplished through his once for all sacrifice for sin.
Mm-hmm.
We tell about his burial, how he put an end to our old way of life. Why? So that we could be raised to walk in the newness of life.
Right.
That's what this gospel is all about. That's the story that we tell every day. We want to tell that story as often as we can to as many people as we can. And we rely on people just like you to join with us, to give, to contribute, so we can extend the borders of Basic Gospel Nation and reach as many people as we possibly can. And right now is a wonderful time to help set the stage for us in 2018. We have about $40,000 left to raise this year to meet our budget. We would, as we've said over the last couple of weeks, we would like to see that shattered.
Yeah.
We would really like to step into 2018 ready and primed to take advantage of some opportunities that are hovering right there for us.
Right, big ones.
And deliver good news to more and more people around this world. Help us do it. Be generous today.
Donate at basicgospel.net. That's our regular website, basicgospel.net. You can phone your gift to 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. That's available 24 hours a day. You can write to us at 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. Again, Hebron is spelled H-E-B-R-O-N. It's Hebron Parkway, 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. You can also use the Basic Gospel app to donate, or you can donate through PayPal if you live outside the U.S. or Canada. Anyway, is a good way to join us as a partner with this message of God's unconditional love and grace through Basic Gospel. Well, thanks for being with us for Basic Gospel today, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all the ministry team, Bob David's inviting you to be with us again tomorrow at the same time. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.